Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to each and everyone. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. I am so glad you tune in. I trust that you've been having a glorious and a victorious week. Yes, I've been having a glorious and a victorious week with the Lord. You know, I am so glad that I'm a believer. I trust that you're a believer. And you know what? If you're not, you can receive Jesus today as your Lord and Savior. I always thank and praise the Lord for Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong, who is the sponsor of this program. And I'm just so glad that God blessed me to play a part in it. And I thank and praise the Lord for the words and the message that God gave me to share with you all. And we're going to get into the word. But, you know, we living in, I truly believe, based upon the word of God, we are living in the last of the last days. And it is so important. It's just like when God told Noah to build an ark and get all the peoples in the ark. A lot of them, they rejected and they didn't want to come in the ark. You got to understand it hadn't rained in over 200-some years. So at that time, rain didn't come out the sky, but the Bible said that it came up from the earth like a mist or something. But there too, again, when God told him to build an ark, they laughed at him. And so guess what? On God-appointed time, it did rain. And according to the scripture, only the one that escaped the flood was Noah and his family, because the rest of them, they didn't believe that it was going to take place. And, you know, we living in that time. As I said, I believe, really truly believe that we living in the last days. And God have made it possible that we have escaped. And some people don't believe it. You're either going to spend eternity in heaven or you're going to spend eternity in hell. Well, the Bible say that God never made hell for people, but it was for Satan, his beasts. But there too, again, as we've been talking a lot off and on about our will, God gave all us a will. That's what makes it so awesome about God. God didn't want robots. So what he did, he gave us a will. And the will, well, the soul, you're a spirit, you're a three-point being like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, tri-being person. Well, God have a will, Jesus have a will, the Holy Spirit have a will, Satan have a will, the angels have a will, demons have wills. And we as human, God gave us a will. We were created with a will. And the will is in your soul. Your soul is consists of your mind, your will, and your emotion. And it's an act of our will. God is not going to override your will or my will. God is not going to make us do anything. But thanks be to God for Jesus. Jesus made it possible that we can, if we will to do right. Philippians tell us that God worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Jesus made it possible that you and I, we can live right, and God will help us to live right if we choose to. I've been in 1 Corinthians, the 13 chapters, and we've been talking about what love is. And Paul was explaining to the Corinthians people how a lot of them, they will operate, and it's possible that you can operate in the minister gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is 9 gifts. You can operate in them gifts, and at the same time, you would have compassion, or you won't be operating in the love of God like you're supposed to. Love is so important. Jesus even said it on one occasion. I think it's in St. John, the 17th chapter. He was telling God to love us as he loved him. But in the Gospel of John, he also said, by we loving ye one another, the world would know that we are his disciples. So, like I said, I started with 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and we didn't get no further into the one that love is not rude. When the love of God is really being perfected, when it matures in you, is not rude. And like I said, that's why I stopped that, and we felt led to get into it. We've been talking about covenant. Some people say, well, what covenant got to do with love? Listen, let me stop. Let me pray for you all. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, again, I thank you for this day. Truly, this is the day that you have made. I thank you now, Father, for the Holy Spirit is being released over the airways. I thank you how the Holy Spirit will bring clarity and understanding to those that have tuned in. I thank you, Father, for the listeners, and Father, even the ones that have tuned in that's not saved. I thank you that the Holy Spirit will bring conviction to them. I cover this broadcast with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, but as I stated, love is so powerful. And like I said, we was in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and then I started feeling led by the Lord that talk about covenant. And love and covenant have so much to do. It really connects together, because to really understand God, the way things, if you go to the Old Testament and you read the Old Testament, you will find out that God always was a covenant God, even when Adam and Eve messed up, how God covered them with blood. But then in Genesis, the 15th chapter, you can start reading at the 12th chapter, read on through, you will find out how God came in covenant with Abraham. And like I said on Monday past, I'm just giving you just a little bit to kind of give you the basic, but it would do you good if you go, I think it's about Genesis, the 12th chapter, you can start reading about God dealing with Abraham. But God made a promise to Abraham, and he told Abraham that he was going to be a father of many nations. You know, a lot of people, through ignorance and because of Satan, they allow the color of your skin interfere with when it comes down to showing love. But we ask the body of Christ, I want you to hear me, I never expect the world to show me love and do right by me, because the world love is conditional. But God love is unconditional. The Bible said that the love of God been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. God gave us, you know, his three different ways, four different types of love, but I know eros, philo, and agape. You know, that agape love is unconditional love. And God, you know, the Bible tells us that we made in his image and his likeness. You see, everything that God is, from the beginning, God wanted him and man to have a relationship. A lot of people bypass having a relationship with God, and they develop a relationship with other people more than God. But I'm telling you, the reason why Jesus had to come, because after Adam and Eve did what they did, he broke their relationship. It separated them from God in the spirit realm. The spirit realm, and you know, even though Adam continued to live for a number of years, but he was cut off. He couldn't communicate with God in the spirit. Well, the Bible tells us that God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And like I said, you a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. God gave us our spirit to communicate with him and deal with spiritual things, but we have our flesh that we can deal with things in the natural, better yet in the physical realm. And that's so important. But there too, again, I hear a lot of people saying sometimes, well, you can't love like God loves. That's not true. You and I can love like God. Because God always wanted to have a relationship with his creation. And that in the beginning, the first people, first one on the earth were Adam. And the Bible tells us God would come down on the cooler day and communicate with Adam and with Adam and Eve. And God wanted to continue that, but after they sinned, they stopped everything. But then here come Jesus. You know, but here come Jesus, and he restored everything. But before Jesus restored everything, now, in Romans, the 4th chapter, it tells us about how God and Abraham, how God made a covenant with Abraham. It tell us, and that's where everything, because God said through Abraham's seed what he would do. That's when God gave Abraham a promise and told Abraham what he was going to do. And like I said, a lot of times people say, well, Prophet Miller, I don't need to know all of that. It's good to know. And that's why I tell people, you know, you need to read the Old as well as the New Testament. You know, some people they say, well, we ain't living in the Old Testament. But let me tell you something. When you go and read the four Gospels, Jesus, everybody, even in the four Gospels, Jesus always referred to the Old Testament. And even in the epistles in the New Testament, all of those apostles were referring to the Old Testament. Jesus came to fulfill every prophecy that was spoken about Jesus in the Old Testament. He fulfilled it. That's why he said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. And there too again, but like I said, God made a promise. God made a promise to Abraham. And he told Abraham that, you know, that he gave in Genesis, the 15th chapter. Let me slow it down a little bit. In Genesis, the 15th chapter, he told Abraham what he was going to do. And like I said, there too again, it is so important to study and know, because once you see this, it really bless you. You know, now let me go to Genesis 12. Let's go to the 12th chapter, and I'm going to read 1, 2, 3, and then I'm going to go into Galatians. But it does have everything to do with God loving everybody, you know, and the enemy, because we're living in a fallen world, the enemy have tried to start a race war. He always trying to bring confusion from your house to the White House, my house, but that's what he do. But we as born-again believers, when we express and demonstrate the love of God first between one another in the body of Christ, which you should consider as the church, as the world look on and see how we operate, and they find out, well, how can we love unconditionally? When they see the born-again believers loving like God, God love unconditional. As I stated, sinners, they love according to conditional. As long as you doing what they want, they for you. When you turn on them, they turn on you. But in the body of Christ, and y'all, let me tell you, it's only two races of people, the believers and the unbelievers. Now, if you lack in knowledge of what the words say, the enemy have you to look at the white, the black, Latino, already whoever, he have you to look at the color of their skin. That's what brings separation. That's what the enemy used to try to bring a lot of confusion. But that's why I wanted to go back, and like I said, and bring up a little bit about the covenant. And see, we are supposed to live by what is written. We're not supposed to go by what people say. I had to learn that. Well, if what people is saying to you is not lining up with this word, even if it's a leader, if you're in a church and they said things to you that's not lining up with this word, you need to pray and ask God where he wants you to go, because you need to know what God is saying. The enemy done went to extreme measure to try to get people to not pay attention. He's trying to quiet out the voice. A lot of people trying to get rid of, we're living in the hour, a lot of people trying to get rid of the Bible. Well, I'm telling you, do not get rid of your Bible. Your Bible is a manual for your life, what God requires from you, why God created you, who God is, and what God would do. And see, the enemy is going to extreme measure to get people, even born-again believers in 1 Timothy, Paul talk about it, that many would depart from the faith, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit talk about in the last days. And you got a lot of the saints is departing from the faith. And most of the time I blame that on ignorance and immaturity. because you can't just read the Bible one day or just on Sunday or just on Bible study night. Because as I stated from the beginning, Christianity is all about a relationship with you and God. We're going to talk about reconciliation. Won't be in this setting, but at this time, but maybe on the next one or maybe the one after that. But I'm trying to get you to understand why God talks so much about love, why love is so important. It grieved me when I hear saints say, so-and-so made me sick. I can't stand so-and-so. And you just going to have to pray for me. No, I don't have to pray for you if you say you can't stand somebody. The thing is, you need to make up in your mind whether you go obey and do what God say. Habakkuk tell us in Hebrew, we have to live by faith. Faith ain't got nothing to do with how you feel. Faith, your emotion, a change with the weather if you allow it. You know, everything that we do, we live by faith. Habakkuk said that he said, the just shall live by faith. In the book of Hebrew, we supposed to live by faith. God will have us to live by faith. And faith is based upon what is written, what God say. The word of God ought to be the final authority in your life. Amen. But in Genesis, the 12th chapter, that's really the one I said, 15. But Genesis, the 12th chapter, and those first three verses when God spoke, this is what he said. He said, now the Lord had said unto Abe, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father house unto land that I will show thee. And I would, and the reason why he told Abraham to get away from his family's land, because they were idolaters. They worship idol gods. You know, and sometimes God has to get you away from certain people that you've been hanging around because they want to live in disobedience and rebellion to what God's word say. So God told Abraham to get away from his own country, from his own people, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now look what he's saying. And I will. Now this is what God said. This is what God promised Abraham. And some said, well, prophet, what that got to do with loving me? Just hold on. Just hold on. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show you what this got to do with love. And listen what he said. He said, and I will make of thee a great nation. Listen. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will, he said, listen, a great nation. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curses thee. And in thee, listen, and in thee, he come out Abraham, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All the that ain't, and listen, that's all nationality. That's all race. That's why in St. John 3, when he said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God loved everybody. And I'm telling you, if people get a knowledge and an understanding of the revelation of what God meant when he said he loved all people. He loved all people, all race of people. You can get rid of racism and prejudice. All this evil wouldn't be if people get a knowledge and an understanding and a revelation about the love of God. Now, the way the world defines love, if you love me, you'll let me do what I want to do. You allow me to control you. That is not that agape love. That's not the agape love. The agape love is that I love you enough to discipline you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. It's a difference. It's a difference between the way the world loves and the way God loves. But you have to get in the word and read the word and find out what he said. And like I said, I wanted you to see this because this is where it all started. This is where it started at. Now, like I said, for time's sake, I was going to go to Romans, but I ain't going to do that. For time's sake, I'm just going to go in Galatians. Now, I want you to go to Galatians, the third chapter. Now, a lot of people don't realize Abraham came before the Mosaic law. God made a covenant with Abraham before the Mosaic law. And a lot of people, and I've been down that road before. I at first when I first got saved, it was based upon a lot of rules and regulation. Now understand, rightly divide what I'm saying. God still have God have laws and principles that we supposed to abide by. Now, if you go to Matthew, the 23rd chapter, we talked a little bit about that about a week ago, how Jesus considered the Pharisees and those religious leaders as hypocrites. They were putting burden on people. If you want to know what a hypocrite is, what religion, go read Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Read it in its entirety, and it will show you what it is. You see, God made it possible through Abraham obeying God on your own time. You can go read Romans, the 4th chapter, in its entirety. It'll help you. Yeah, I'm just telling you that because, like I said, I'm trying to get somewhere with this. And, you know, I'm trying to get to the place to show you how when we come into the knowledge and the understanding and the revelation about the plan of God, what God planned and how God worked through different people to bring about certain things, it'll help you to understand better, okay? But like I said, if you go to Romans, the 4th chapter, it talk about Abraham and God. But Abraham is considered the father of faith. He the father of faith. And God said through Abraham's seed, he would come out Jesus because Jesus came through that lineage. That's he came through that, you know. And so he talk about a little bit about the law. But in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, and Galatians, the 3rd chapter, in that 13th verse. Well, I'm going to start at that 12th verse. It said, no, let's go on up a little bit more. Okay, Lord, okay. Okay, we'll do that. And now, like I said, go to Genesis, the 12th chapter, read it in its entirety, go to Romans, the 4th chapter, read it in its entirety, then go to Galatians, the 3rd chapter, read. Some of you don't have, you have a lot of time on your hand. Just go on and read it. You know, I had to learn a long time ago, something that of any value, you will make time and you'll find ways to find out what you need to know. And I'm telling you, this is so important because as I start talking about love and God starts showing me this, I mean, it really helped me to understand, even though we're in a fallen world, and I see how God made with the covenant that God came with Abraham and told Abraham every nation would be blessed through him. That means regardless the color of your skin. Come on, somebody. That's regardless to where you came from and all of that. Because the enemy, as I said, he want people. And I'm gonna go back and read a little bit of my notes. It's that God want his people to stop looking at each other through the flesh. See, when you look at people from the flesh, that means from the natural, guess what? You're going to see the color of their skin. You're going to look at their background, their culture, and all of that. And if you don't view them from the way God view them, it's going to cause misunderstanding. It can cause evil. It can cause prejudice, racism. And this is what some people are dealing with. You know, God is the creator of all mankind. And this is what we got, regardless of the color of your skin, God created all of us. God didn't bring hatred and bitterness on the earth. It came with Satan. Satan is the one. He going to always give you and I a reason to dislike one another, bring confusion and misunderstanding. He specialized in it. The Bible said in John, the 10th chapter, the thief come but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Listen, we have an identity Christ on the earth, especially in the body of Christ. A lot of people in the body of Christ don't know who they is. They don't know why they, you know, when I got saved, I shared this in one of my other broadcasts. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell and I wanted to get off of, you know, doing marijuana and drinking and stuff like that. That's the only reason why I got saved. I didn't want to go to hell. But then after I got saved, I had this burning desire to read the Bible. Well, I had been reading the Bible ever since I was 8, but it was no understanding. I was just reading because I read it for my grandmother after her eyes got dim on her. Her eyesight got dim. But after I got saved, it started making sense. Understanding come, revelation, the reality, all of it just began to get real. And the more I read it, the more I enjoyed it. And I started experiencing the peace of God. I started finding out who God was and what God required from me. And I tell you, that been over 47 years ago, and I tell you, I love the Lord with all my heart. Now, just because I'm saved, that don't mean I escaped trials and tribulation, persecution, adverse. No, 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 no. But I do not have to go it alone. But anyway, in Galatians, the third chapter, the sixth verse said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Abraham believed the promise of God when God said, I'm going to give you a son from your own bowel. Now, if anybody ever read the story of Abraham and Sarah, you would find out they was at the age, I think Abraham was about 70-something at this time, but he was at 90-something years old when Isaac finally came on the scene. And there, too, again, it was impossible for Abraham and Sarah to come together and produce a son. But because God told Abraham, Abraham believed and he trusts what God's word say. Now, in Romans, the fourth chapter, it tells you a little bit Abraham staggered at the promise. He did not stagger at the promise. But if you go and start in Genesis, the 12th chapter, read on up to the time that Isaac came, you will find he did stagger a little bit with it. But he kept on believing and focus on what God said, and it got him to the point that he was fully persuaded that what God said or what God promised, God was able to fulfill it. Now, I'm going to read them 6 and 7, but I'm going to drop down to the 10th verse. He said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, he believed God. He believed and he trusted what God said. Know ye therefore that they, I'm one of the they, you one of them too if you're a believer, which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Drop down, like I said, I'm going to drop down for time's sake. Okay, in that 10th verse, look what it says. For as many as are of the work of the law are under the curse, for it is written, curses is everyone that continue not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, the law came by Moses. But the law, and this is what a lot of people don't understand. Well, let me finish reading and I'll go to something else. It said, for as many as are of the work of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continue not in all things which is written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law, that meaning right standing with God, in the sight of God it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Now that right there, it messes up a lot of people when it comes down to being a doer of God's word, applying God's word to your situation. I really believe now, like never before, we're in a time that we not only got to believe God, but we got to trust what he say when we confronted with certain situations. I really believe that. You know, the old saints used to say, if you can't trace him, trust him. And the thing about, because this, it's a spirit world just like it's a physical world, everything begins in the spirit realm. That's why the Bible tells us in Mark 11, when you pray, believe that you receive. You got to believe and trust that God hear you. He said, God tell us that his ears is open to the righteous cry. The Bible tells us the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And there too again, you got to be persuaded and you got to, now if I don't pray about it, I really believe that God hear me. A lot of time, and I found this out, whenever you be not prayed about a situation, a lot of time in the physical realm, you don't see immediately change. If anything, what you see, it appears it getting worse. But you are not supposed to put your faith in it, what you can see and feel, to say, well, God, maybe God didn't hear me, because if God would hear me, it would have changed. You got to realize God always go to the root of the problem. And that's why it's so important. Faith, the Bible said, now faith is the subject of things that hope for, the evidence of things not seen. You see? So there too again, you have to put your faith, your confidence in what God said about your situation. Then he said, the just shall live by faith. Look at this. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Listen, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You want to know what the curse is? Go to Deuteronomy 28 chapter. It'll tell you all the curses. Read that. It'll tell you the curses, and it'll tell you the blessing. Okay? He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, I wanted to show you that. Now, as I stated, I'm talking about covenant here, because if you read in Genesis, it talk about a covenant that God, I think it's about the 15th chapter, if I'm not making a mistake, but God came in covenant with Abraham. Abraham and God came in covenant, and God is a covenant God. God is a covenant God, okay? Now, when you go to some, I'm reading some notes. The law had two functions. On the positive side, it revealed the nature and the will of God and showed people how to live. That's what the law was for. The law was given to man, they revealed to man what God wanted for man, but at the same time, to show man it was impossible for him to do what God said without God helping him. See, that's the thing I had to learn, and a lot of people read the word, and instead of believing, or better yet, asking God to help them and find out what God said about it and trusting God to help, they try to do it in their own effort. You know, a lot of times, the first of the year, I used to do it too. People make all these New Year resolutions, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And for a while, some of them seem to accomplish it. But then the next thing you know, they don't stop. They fail. You and I need God help to do what need to be done. And through Jesus coming, death, buried, and resurrection, he made it possible. I used to hear people say all the time, well, Prophet Miller, you can't love everybody. Yes, you can. Because that agape love of God is in us. We can love people unconditional. And that's what the world needs from the church. They don't need the church always judging them. I've been down that road. People need to know that God made it possible through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, not only to restore your relationship with God if you choose to, but through that union, through that relationship, everything, God, divine nature, I think it's in 2 Peter, the first chapter, read it, and it tells you that through God, through his divine power, through his pressure from God, divine nature is in us. That means God give you and I the ability to love like he loved, not only communicate with him, but to be able to do what he say. Jesus made it plain when he was being tempted of the devil in the wilderness, Matthew the 4th chapter, he said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceed out the mouth of God. That's a bold statement. But if you don't have some knowledge and understanding, it's a revelation about the redemption work of Christ, the enemy will have you to believe, ain't no way nobody can live by every word. Yes, you can. The Bible, I think it's in Numbers, I know, either 22 or 23rd chapter, if I'm not making a mistake. And it tells us that God is not a man that he will lie. Whatever God say, God would do it. And that's why it's so important. Read your Bible. You know, cut the TV off. Get in there and read. And when you begin to read, ask God to open up your understanding. God, give me understanding. Open up my spiritual eyes. He'll do it. If you want to know God, you can. Because guess what? You came from him. And God wants you as an act of your will to come back to him. He ain't going, like I said, God not going to override you. God ain't going to make you read your Bible. He ain't going to make you be a doer of the word. But if you will to do right, God, through the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit will enable you with the ability to do it. But you have your part to play. There too, again, like I said, the law had two functions. On one positive side, it revealed the nature and the will of God and showed people how to live. On the negative side, it point out people's sin and show them that it is impossible to please God by trying to obey all his law completely. God promised to Abraham that with Abraham's faith, the law focused on action. The covenant with Abraham showed that faith is the only way to be saved. The law showed how to obey God in grateful response. Faith does not annul the law, but the more we know God, the more we see how sinful we are. Then we are driven to depend on our faith in Christ alone for our salvation. When God gave his promise to Abraham, and see there too again, it lets you know, when God gave his promise to Abraham, it was between God and Abraham. But remember he said in that 12th chapter that he, with all nation, he's talking about people, all nation of the people would be blessed through Abraham. That means, and there too again, like I said, in one of my notes, I read, God wants his people to stop looking at each other through the flesh. In the eyes of God, there are only two races, the believers and the unbelievers. You are either one or the other. Don't let them make you think it's a neutral ground. No, you either a believer of God, believe what was said, what is written about you, and trust that, or you don't. You know, now the enemy will tell you his many races. Well, you got the white man, you got the black man, you got this man, you got this one, Artina. I mean, he got you people believing all of that. But in God don't view you in our light. God don't view us in the physical realm like he view us according to the spirit. He view us according to the way he created us. And I'm telling you, when you really study the covenant of God, you will find out in God's eyes, there is no longer a black man or a white man or a Jew man or a Mexican man or an Oriental man. We are all covenant people. The blood of Jesus is red. And see, that's why I said when I start studying this about covenant, God began to open up my eyes, and that's why you can, and I tell anybody, read Galatians. Start in Galatians. It ain't but six. Let me make sure I'm telling you right. It's six chapters in Galatians. It'll do you good to read it. Like I said, make some time and read the word and stop just going by what people say. Now you hear what I'm saying? Because he tell us in Galatians there's no male or female. See, a lot of people get stuck on that. You got some people say, well, I don't want to hear a woman preach. People get stuck on something. What did God say? Go in the word. Read the word in its entirety. Ask God to give you understanding. Ask God to give you revelation of what the word say. In Galatians, the third chapter, if you read it in its entirety, it's still talking about faith. You got to tell you. Well, let me read it. Sometimes I get in a hurry. I be trying to hurry up and trying to get stuff out, and the Holy Spirit tell me to slow down. Let me slow down. In Galatians, the third chapter, is telling you about the law, about Abraham in the law. But for time's sake, I'm going to skip down to the 22nd verse. He said, but the scripture shall conclude all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ may be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we was kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which hereafter will be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith have come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God. Listen, for ye are all. See, at that time in Galatians, they were dealing with the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews thought, and in the beginning, God dealt with the Jews, the Israelites. That's who he dealt with in the beginning. But guess what? God wanted, because he the creator of all mankind, God wanted all us to be involved. That was the first plan. But when man messed up, but even when Jesus came on the scene, the Jews didn't like the Gentiles. at all. They don't want to have no dealing with. They consider us as dogs. They don't want to deal with us at all. You know, even in Jesus' day, when Jesus came, a lot of times they didn't deal with a female. They don't. But you can see even in the four gospel how Jesus honored and respect females. Remember the one with the issue of blood for them years, the 12 years she had it. And she pressed her way to get to Jesus. Make a long story short, when, you know, even with the woman with the issue of blood, when she touched him, the blood dried up. Then this woman had been bent over that Satan had bound. And Jesus said, since she a daughter of Abraham, ought not she be loosed from that who Satan had bound up. Even the woman that was committed in adultery, you could tell that they had a problem with females. And Jesus always, he didn't just pull a female out just to do it, but I believe God had him to do that, to let them know that he honored females just like he honored males. Now, don't get me wrong. No, God don't mean for us females to walk around here being master like a man. No. That's why you need to get in the Bible and read the Bible. You need to get in here and read it. And I tell anybody, Galatians have so much, it bring us out the law and show us how Abraham, when God told him he would bless all families and nations through him. Okay? Then he gone down and tell us, he said, in that 26th verse, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Look at the 28th verse. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And y'all, we living in a time that people want to argue. People want to argue about the color of your skin. And believe it or not, I think it's in Timothy. What Paul told Timothy, don't give to all the geology. He said, but preach and teach love to the people. And that is so important. The point I'm showing you why the covenant is so important, because once you come into the knowledge and understand of God's covenant, for all, why he brought up a covenant, why it was needed for a covenant, and the Bible tells us that in Hebrews, I think about the 8th chapter, better yet, just in Hebrews, it tells us that we have a better covenant with better promise. Why? Because up under the old covenant, they had to make atonement every year for sin. But it did not get rid of the root cause of sin, the nature of sin. But when Jesus came, that Jesus was considered as a lamb. That's who he was. And up under the old covenant, they had to use the lamb every year to make atonement for the sin. When Jesus come as a lamb, when God revealed him to John the Baptist, John said, behold, he that come to take away the Lamb of God, that take away the world's sin. In covenant, God is a covenant people. As I stated, I believe it was Monday, a lot of couples don't realize that marriage is a covenant. It'd be three peoples in that covenant, not just the male and the female, but it'd be God, the man, and the woman. And that's the way it's covenant. I'm telling you, get in the word, study. You'll find out covenant is awesome. When you really get a knowledge and an understanding of covenant from God's perspective, it makes a difference. It'll transform your life. It really will. Okay? And so we're going to read on. Like I said, he said, now there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. And like I said, I wanted you to see that because it is so important. A covenant is a pledge, a vow, a promise, a commitment between two or more parties to carry the terms they have agreed upon. Abraham and God came in agreement. Okay, you can read it on your own time. This covenant is established in blood. It can only be broken by death. So this is a serious contract, a serious agreement. We are talking here about a blood covenant between God and Abe, as we read, like I said, if you go to Genesis, the 15th chapter. And like I said, the first thing you need to know about a blood covenant, sir, is to recognize the need for a covenant. And man, and like I said, because God is a covenant God, man needed help. Mankind needed help. In order to have a relationship, in order to commune with God, mankind needed help. That means one man and woman. We all need help, you know. And thank God for Jesus coming, death, burial, and resurrection. He made it possible. And like I said, that's talking about reconciliation, to be restored. And see, these are some of the things the enemy don't want you to come into the knowledge and understanding of it. You got racism, you got prejudice. Y'all, that is from the enemy. And what people don't realize, the Bible tells us in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principality, rule of darkness, spirit of weakness in high places. When I came to the knowledge and understanding that the enemy can influence me just like God. And Jesus had a good example in Matthew when Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am and who you? God revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Christ. Jesus complimented Peter. Peter, flesh and blood ain't revealed this to you, but my Father have. Jesus continued to talk to them and let them know in a few days what was going to happen to him, how he was going to die and be resurrected. Peter pulled him to the side. No, master, this be far from you. This ain't going to happen, paraphrasing it. Jesus turned to Peter, but when he turned, he said, Satan, get behind me. Because Jesus recognized that here Satan was influencing Peter and having Peter. Now, Peter just heard from God, and he turned right around and let the devil come in there, influence him, and try to get him to doubt what God told, what God had said. And you, because you are spirit and I'm a spirit, all of us can be influenced by the evil one. That's why Paul told him, he said, finally, my brother, in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, he said, be strong and put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might, because you ain't wrestling with flesh and blood. Now, if you ain't got a relationship with God, if you ain't been born again and don't have that relationship with God, you will not understand what is written. 1 Corinthians, you go to 1 Corinthians, that first and second chapter, it tells you the natural man cannot receive the things of God. You don't understand it. You can't understand it. And too many people try to read the Bible with their own understanding. If anybody trying to put in you bitterness and resentment and hatred, that is not the spirit of God. The Bible said the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. As I stated, Satan is the one is bringing all this confusion. That's why his divorces. That's why his people killing one another. This is evil. This the devil at work. He influencing people, giving people a reason to do these things that God said don't do. Well, you need to come in the ark of safety. And if you're a born-again believer, if you done got out of relationship with God, you need to ask God and pray and get that relationship restored. This bitterness and resentment and hatred in the body of Christ, that's not God. That's not God. God loves everybody. Well, you just don't know what so-and-so did. Well, I can say the same. You don't know what God did through Jesus. He loved everybody. God created all mankind. You didn't come from a monkey. You came from the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Now there too again. Okay, Holy Ghost, I can't go the other way. Psalms 89 and 34. I'm telling you, this is good because once you come in a knowledge and a revelation about covenant and understand what is a covenant, who decision it was God's decision about covenant. Psalms 89 and 34. What did it say? My covenant, this God talking, my covenant will I not break nor alter the things that is gone out of my lips. This God saying it. God will not break his covenant. The Bible says he kept it coming to 1,000 generations. God will not break his covenant. Okay, let's go to Psalms 111. I'm telling you, once you come in, when you really get in God's word and get knowledge and understanding, your view about life, your view about people will change. Come on, somebody. You know, a lot of people say, you just being naive. I'm not naive. I promise you that. Don't know everything, but I promise you I'm not naive. Just like with Black history. It's good to know the history. But let me tell you something. Don't let the enemy cause you to look at Black history. He'll try to present it to you that one is better than the other and one is weak. Y'all, that's not God. God don't work that way. God do not work that way. Like I said in my notes, in God's eyes, there's no longer a Black man or a white man or a Jew man or a Mexican man or a red man. We are all a covenant people. And that's the thing I wanted to bring out about covenant. Psalms 111:5. He have given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He'll ever be mindful of his covenant. Listen, he have given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. God is always mindful of the covenant that he made to Abraham. You go in the Bible, you'll see that God did certain things because what he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is a keeping covenant God. Hebrews 6:13. I'm telling you, this is so important. This is so important. And a lot of time, as I stated, a lot of time people don't know this. Hebrews 6:13. I'm not a scholar. I know something. I don't know everything. Okay? In Hebrews 6:13, it's a for when God made promise to Abraham, because he sware by no great, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, I will multiply thee. And so, and God did all, everything he told Abraham. We are Abraham's seed. Do you hear me? You are Abraham's seed. And we need to realize, no matter what color our skin may be, we are Abraham's seed. That means everything that God promised to Abraham, also he promised to you and me. God's blessing is no longer to the Jew. It is now to us, the believers in Christ Jesus. Do you hear me? And this is what he said in Galatians 3:29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And as believers in Jesus Christ, the anointed one, we become Abraham's seed, and as Abraham's seed, we are heir according to the promise. That means there's neither black nor white when we are in the anointed one. There's neither Chinese, Japanese, when we are in the anointed one. There's neither Mexican nor Korean when we are in the anointed one. There's neither Baptist nor Methodist, neither word of faith nor charismatic when we are in the anointed one. Jesus made a way so that the peoples of all color and ethnic group could become the seed of Abraham. And I'm telling you, this is so important. That's why being born again, going from darkness into the marvelous light, being declared the righteous of God. And I'm telling you, this is so good. I'm telling you, this is so good. But like I said, but the enemy constantly got the race of people fighting against one another because of the color of their skin. And believe it or not, if you just looking at the color of your skin from the physical, if you black, white, you are limited. But if you look at it from God's perspective, from a covenant perspective, you are not limited, because God would keep his promise. Jeremiah said, he told Jeremiah, I watch over my word to perform it. Yes, yes, you can look at me. Yes, I'm a black female. Yes, now I'm always be black. That's right. And some people, but let me tell you something, I can be limited in the natural. Some people try to limit me, but when I view it from God's perspective as being in covenant with God, God is not limited. See, the children of Israel, the Bible tells us how they limit the Holy One of Israel. They limit him through unbelief. Well, let me tell you something. As a born-again believer, you can limit God if you start viewing yourself based upon the cover of your sin and your culture. See, when all of us come together, we can learn from one another. Oh, this is a good word. We can learn from one another. And that's why the enemy go to extreme measure. Come on, somebody. And I'm quoting somebody here. I'm quoting one of the ministers that I respect highly. And he blessed me. He said, I am in Christ. I am not just a black man. More than that, I am a covered man and heir to God's promise. That means that the change now, as a black man, I can have a white brother because we are blood in the family, the blood of Jesus. And if you go to Ephesians, the second chapter, it tell you, for we are his workmanship. We, that means regardless of the color of your skin. Now, if you ain't got this knowledge and this knowledge and understanding and the revelation I'm giving you now, you'll walk around with prejudice in your heart, racism and all of that stuff. That's because of ignorance and lack of knowledge. Yes, you got some mean black folks, you got some mean white folks, you got some mean Mexican, Indian, you name them. Yeah, they is some of them because guess what? They haven't come to the light. And like I said, people that's not saved, they going to love and view you according to darkness. But once they come into the marvelous light, it makes a difference. Are you here? I'm talking about covenant. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about covenant. This is the covenant that he was saying. This is the covenant that God said to Abraham. And like I said, when we view things from God's perspective, it makes a difference. Do you hear me? And I'm telling you, we need to know this. And this is why even if you, like I said, when you look at it from the natural, no knowledge of God, no understanding, you're going to view it according to what somebody told you, what you done hear. But y'all, when we view it from a covenant perspective, getting the knowledge and the understanding and a revelation what covenants is all about. That's why I said, read Galatians. Read it. It ain't but six chapters. You can read one chapter a day, but read it and meditate. God, open this up to me. Give me understanding. And listen, I'm talking to born-again believers because you got some born-again believer because of some things that done happen, the color of people's skin. You got some bitterness and hatred and resentment in your heart. Well, let me tell you something. That going to hinder your faith. That's what the devil wants. How can you live by faith? How can you believe and trust what God's word say? When you allow yourself to harbor bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness. Now, don't get me wrong. I deal with it too. But I have to learn. You forgive by faith. You live by faith. You trust. Everything that God says, we have to do it by faith. When my time is running out. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I give you praise for your word tonight. I thank you for bringing enlightenment and understanding to your people. I thank you, Father, for revealing to us through your word, you as a covenant-keeping God. Father, I thank you and I praise you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. This was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. I trust that you will enjoy the rest of your evening and go back and read the scriptures. Genesis 12, all the way up until he had Isaac. Galatians, the third chapter. Romans, the fourth chapter, Ephesians, the second. Go back and read and get you some knowledge and some understanding and get rid of all of that bitterness and be able to walk in that love according to Galatians, according to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Enjoy the rest of your evening.